I hope you believe, as I believe, that God works with the curse to save us from the curse. The curse is the condition that results when the creation is separated from the Creator. And we fall prey to the spiritual forces of evil because we are separated from the ultimate source of good.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast that you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Good morning. Everybody feel blessed by God today? Amen. I don't have anything funny to say today, so I'll just launch right into it. Mark read for you a passage, a neglected passage from a neglected book out of the first passage of Zechariah. And it also has to do with the book of Revelation. If anybody is interested, as close as I can concentrate on one thing that would describe my entire view of the book of Revelation, this will probably do it. So if you follow me here, you will probably understand about everything else I would say about the book of Revelation, so you can pay attention to that. But Zechariah sees these horsemen. You will see them again in the book of Revelation. He sees the horsemen of the apocalypse. I believe, based on my reading of Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Revelation, that the horsemen are also the four cherubim that stand around the throne. I'm less certain about that sometimes, but I'm mostly certain about it. And since I've got to keep things a little short today, I won't go much into that. But if you want to talk about my theory about the cherubim, you come see me and we'll talk about that. But these are the horsemen of the apocalypse that Zechariah is privileged to see. And it says that they patrol the earth. They walk about on the earth at all times, keeping track of things. And they're asked for a report. And the report is, all is at rest, peaceful, quiet. And the response is, well, rats! I mean, peace? Really? Peace? That's the best news you've got for me? Peace everywhere? Well, how long, O Lord, until you have some pity on Jerusalem with whom you have been? Are you going to be mad at us forever? Peace is the response. I hope you believe as I believe that God works with the curse to save us from the curse. The curse is the condition that results when the creation is separated from the Creator. And we fall prey to the spiritual forces of evil because we are separated from the ultimate source of good. And the curse includes a lot of things, but it includes enmity and greed, lust, and the endless exaltation of the self, from which arises strife on all levels. Personal, the small scale, war, the big scale. And God works with the curse to save us from the curse, which is to say that God works with and in the wars of men to move His purposes forward. Certainly, we as a nation have come to believe that as regards our own experience with the Revolutionary War and particularly the Civil War that our nation went through. How many of you ever really paid attention to the words of the song that was played back at the prelude, the Battle Hymn of the Republic? You sang it 100 times. You ever really think what you were singing? Sing it with me. Are you ready? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. What was it they thought was happening in that war? That God was working out his purposes. The imagery of the great wine press of his wrath, his sword descending there amidst the fire and the suffering and the death. There in the middle of the evil and the injustice, his truth, his plan marches on. So we have come to believe about that war, so formative to our nation. And as God worked with wars in our experience, so he has worked forever. God worked long, long ago now with the wars of Babylonian expansion to discipline his errant, rebellious, sinful people in the nation of Israel. Those wars saw the Israelites plucked from their security and hauled away captive, first to Babylon, but then they became the possession of a few future conquests as they arrived, until they were the possession of the Persian Empire. You probably know, but I'll tell you in case you don't, the prophets are listed in chronological order in the Bible. You have two groups, the major and the minor prophets, and you start with the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And they're in chronological order. Isaiah was well before, like 100 years before the captivity. Jeremiah is at the very moment that the Israelites were taken into captivity. Ezekiel and Daniel were hauled away into captivity. And then you go to the minor prophets and you just start over with Hosea and Amos being contemporary with Isaiah. And by the time you get to Zechariah, the book from which we read today, Daniel, who went into captivity in Babylon as a youth, is an old man in Persia. And he's been there all that time. And Israel has been there with him all that time, close on to 70 years. By then. And that had been the promised period when Isaiah prophesied about the captivity in advance. He said it would last 70 years, and the 70 years is coming to a close, but there they still are. Those like Daniel who came as youths are old, and those who came as middle-aged or old people are passed on, and the 70 years is almost over. It's almost time for deliverance, and the true prophets understood this, that God would work to end the captivity in the same way that he worked to begin it, which is to say that he used the Babylonian wars of expansion to punish Israel, sending them into captivity. He will use the wars of men to deliver Israel from captivity, but the time is almost up. And what do the angels announce is everywhere in the Persian Empire? Peace and quiet and rest, security. How will Cyrus, the king of the Persians, ever be prompted to let go of his profitable servants, the Israelites, if this peace holds on forever. Oh, when, Lord? Are you going to quit being angry with us? And let us go back home the way that you promised. That's chapter 1 of Zechariah. In chapter 6, the horsemen receive further instructions. Ride. Rush to the north and to the south, but especially to the north. Ride, because war is about to break out and you have work to do in it. Ride, and the horsemen ride. And the war between Greece and Persia fires up. Now here's a question for you. People always ask it this way: when will the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride? It's the completely wrong way to ask the question. The question is, when will they stop? Because they have been riding all this time. And the answer to the right question, when they will stop, is this: when the last battle in the long war between God and the forces of evil is won, the horsemen will ride no more. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. But the horsemen rode in Zechariah 6. They rode into the rising conflict between the Greeks and the Persians, a conflict foretold by Daniel, by the way, if you care to go back and read his prophecies. And this conquest into which the horsemen rode resulted in the liberation of the Jews, because Cyrus, the king of Persia, was very worried about the advance of the Greeks, and he thought, you know, I could send the Jews home and they could live as an independent nation in their own country, which just happens to be between me and Greece. And they would be a nice buffer, a nice shock absorber, someone who, in defense of their own real estate, would at least slow Alexander down and cost him something. This would be a good idea. And so the Jews go home. God stirred up Cyrus to set the Jews free, and his plan was advanced. And then I'll tell you that God foiled Cyrus's personal plans. And this is a matter of history. You can look it up. Alexander the Great received a vision which persuaded him that he ought to just bypass Jerusalem and leave them in peace and proceed directly east without being slowed down at all. So Cyrus's plans crumble to dust as God's plans advanced. God is like that in the wars of men. And there have been, oh, so many wars since then. And men and the nations of men have always had their own agendas. But despite what we hoped to gain or to accomplish, despite the extent to which we succeeded or failed in our plans, the horsemen rode, and God's plans moved forward. It has been said, war is hell. And I suppose there's some truth to that. War is one of the great evils of the curse. And the curse ends, sure enough, in hell. So I guess war is a little preview of hell. But I will tell you this, the horsemen ride in the midst of it, in the thick of what hell plans to be its advance upon earth in the thick of it. The plans of heaven are advanced. Some of you present, as we know from earlier in the service, fought in wars, or at least acted to support those who did. And the exercise left marks, spiritual wounds, from which you will probably never be healed in this world, in this life. And some went to war and were broken completely and came home ruined. And some went to war and did not come back at all. And a couple of soldiers have told me this, that those who don't believe that there is a devil or truly personal evil or such a thing as hell, that those who don't believe such things need only go to war to learn better. Because those who have been to war have been shown truths that the rest of us have been spared and paid a high price for the knowledge. But I want them and all of you to know this: wherever the tanks rolled, the horsemen rode. Wherever the rockets flew, the horsemen rode. And wherever desperate men made a more desperate last stand in the broken ruins of some church in the middle of a burning village, the horsemen rode. And the plans of heaven were advanced in the midst of war, which is close enough to the fires of hell for me. Make a qualification as I prepare to wrap this up. It is not that God loves war. It is that Satan does. It is that evil men, under the influence of more evil spirits, choose war. We, fallen creatures, have chosen it as the arena in which our plans and ambitions are worked out at horrendous expense. But God does not abandon us to our folly. And so the horsemen ride. And you veterans who stood earlier, whatever your participation cost you, whatever marks and injuries it left, this can never be taken from you, whatever else you set out to accomplish, whatever other good you did. The horsemen rode, and you marched beside them. And the plans of heaven were advanced. I'm going to ask all those veterans who stood to stand again and come to the front of the sanctuary. Please come, men and women. And now I'm going to ask that anybody who would like to join me in a special prayer for our veterans to come and join us at the front. Father God, we lift up these who have striven valiantly, who sacrificed, and who suffered, and who rode with your horsemen for the advancement of your kingdom. We pray that you heal them, and we pray that you bless them. We pray that the purposes you worked out in them are made known to them. We pray that new purpose is given to them every day of their life. We pray now for those who have participated in war, that they receive peace, not as the world gives, but as you alone may give. Clarity, a clear conscience, and a straight path forward. We ask this for each of them, and for all who have likewise served. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your service. For all of us, and most of us did not serve in war, and I realized that the body of this sermon was probably not designed for this moment with you. And yet the purposes of God are worked out, and those purposes include this, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and enter into a saving knowledge of what God has done in Jesus Christ.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton, all one word, .com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.